Good morning. All right. All right, well, let's go ahead and get started. I'll open up in a word of prayer here. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for the rain and your provision of everything that we need. Father, we thank you for this Mother's Day to just enjoy and celebrate the mothers in our lives. And Father, most of all, we thank you for your Son and your word that you've given to us, Lord. Help us to open up your word, to understand how to apply it to our lives. Lord, give us your wisdom. Give us insight that we can walk away with and put into practice with the children that you have blessed us with, Lord. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So today we are going to chat about child rearing in terms of developing a loving attitude in our children, how to really encourage and train and direct our children to be loving individuals. It's a tall task. What we talked about last week in character development of humility, that's hard enough. Any aspect of developing character in our children is challenging. But this in particular, I think, is a really challenging topic because to be loving for in and of ourselves, or I shouldn't say in and of ourselves, but for a person to be loving involves all the other character traits. It involves humility. It requires humility to truly be loving. It requires kindness. It requires gentleness. It requires all of those other things. So we're kind of lumping everything together under the umbrella of being loving. And so I wanted to not spend too much time at all about the basics, but just on your handout there, if you all got a handout in the back, I basically just provided that as something that you can take away as more of a quick summary of some concepts. Basically, you know, when we look at the Old Testament, the concepts of what love is, there's a lot of different Hebrew words that are used for love, but all of them center around both the vertical and horizontal dimension. It's really clear from the scripture that the biblical concept of love includes both vertical and horizontal. We know that, most of us, but we forget that sometimes. We forget that with our children, sometimes we forget that the only way we can develop in them a loving attitude and the only way we can expect them to respond lovingly is if they have both that vertical and horizontal aspect of their lives moving forward. When we look at the New Testament concepts, obviously the Lord Jesus explains as in his role as a prophet much more fully the concepts of love, both of the Father, that's why I included some of the scriptures there, but just for the sake of time, we're not going to go through all of them, but those are there for your reading and reviewing on your own. Both the Father in sending the Son, and the Son in coming and being the perfect example of love and obedience, both to the Father and the Spirit, but also to his people in both the vertical and the horizontal dimensions, perfectly displayed in the Lord Jesus. And the Spirit in coming to dwell within his people and to develop in us the love of Christ, the mind of Christ, the attitude of Jesus in us. So when we look at some of the teachings from Jesus about loving, the Lord really just blew the whole concept of love out of the water for the Jews, for the people he came to save by not only talking in all the scripture references about the command of loving the Lord with all your heart and with all your mind and all your strength, but also in loving your neighbor. And, you know, we are all familiar with when he talks about that is those are the two greatest commandments of the law. But then he expands it, and he teaches the parable of the Good Samaritan, and now he's saying, well, you know, in relation to the question, well, who is my neighbor? Who do I need to love? You know, that was kind of the motivation behind that question. And so then he gives the parable of the Good Samaritan, and as I'm sure you're all well aware, that, you know, he purposely picks, like, the most difficult person for a Jew to love. He picks the picture of a Samaritan as kind of the hero of the story, right? The person they would least expect to be loving, and yet that is the example that Jesus gives. And then he goes even further with a rich young ruler. The rich young ruler, you know, comes to him and declares basically he's kept all the commandments, you know, from his youth on up. And instead of Jesus challenging him on that, he gets at his heart idol, you know. And so he's saying, well, what do you love more than anything else? And he was calling him to love him, to love the Son, to love Jesus more than anything else. And yet his love was directed towards himself and towards his possessions. And so that's an example of how the Lord just keeps, you know, expanding what being loving really is. And then finally, the Lord spoke to, in Matthew 5 and in Luke 6, he makes it even more challenging, and he talks about loving your enemies, that is the picture of what true love is about. And so we see from his picture, you know, we're not capable of that. None of us are capable of that. I think we all know that. Anyone who has one child knows that it's quite a challenge to be loving and to be an example of loving. And so this just highlights our need for the vertical aspect of love. Without that, you know, everything else is not going to be very successful in our parenting practices. Now, that being said, I'm challenged by the thought or the ideas of, I'm sure you all have people that you know in your life, friends, neighbors, family members, who don't know the Lord, and yet they're loving. You know, they appear to be loving. They actually live out their lives in relatively unselfish ways. I mean, I know people like that in the world that, you know, I look at them and I'm challenged. I'm saying, wow, Lord, you know, they're really showing me up, which is not difficult. But they can have that. And so those people kind of poke at the idea, well, what is it that develops a young person, a child, to grow up and to be loving? And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. But what does it look like to be a loving person? I mean, you kind of have to have that in the back of your head as we're talking about these things, because that's a huge, broad topic. It can look different in different circumstances, and especially with our children, as we get into talking more about loving our children. But real quickly, just a couple things that I just wanted to highlight in the commands that Jesus gives us. You know, we're commanded to love. John 13, he tells us that a new commandment he gives, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And there in 1 John, where John tells us that that's how we know that we know the Lord, is that if we love, if we don't exhibit love, if we don't live in a loving way, then we have to seriously question our relationship with the Lord. Once again, highlighting the vertical and the horizontal. And before we move into more practical things, I just wanted to encourage us, and that number 3 there, kind of right in the middle of your handout, that we are not alone in parenting. We know that the Holy Spirit dwells within his people, is who gives us the wisdom, gives us the strength, gives us the power to do what he's called us to do. We have lots of examples of this in the scripture. Just the example of Jochebed and Amram in Moses' life. They, by faith, set him adrift on the river, knowing that the Lord would care for Moses. They had seen, the scripture says, that they saw that he was a beautiful child and, prized in their eyes, of course, as their young child. But by faith, they trusted that the Lord would save him and provide for him, and he did, of course. And that's an example that we can really take to heart, that the Lord will preserve and provide for his children. He is faithful to do that, and he will do that with our children. The promise of the covenant. I included a couple of scriptures there. As Peter talks about in Acts 2, the promises for you and for your children. And parenting in the context of understanding that the covenant is with his people, and that includes our children, that he has promised that he will keep them, he will guard them, he will teach them through us, and provide for them, is a promise that we can really lean upon daily, but especially in those tough times when it's really difficult to see our own failures as parents, but we can trust that the Lord is in control of our children's destinies. Also the promise of prayer, that we know that the Lord hears the prayers of his people, and especially when we pray for our children, we know that he is faithful. It doesn't always look that way. It doesn't always seem that way, but we know and we can trust that he will hear the prayers of his people, especially in regards to our covenant children, that we can really rest in that and lean upon that. And then finally, just the sovereignty of God, knowing, and this is kind of a offshoot, but it may come up in your mind. It may be something that we struggle with from time to time. The Lord is sovereign in salvation as well as all other aspects of his creation and providence. And so when we see children, especially those of us who have older children, that are not following the Lord, then we can be tempted to doubt and be tempted to lose faith in the Lord's promises and in the Lord's working. But we can lean upon the fact that ultimately we can do everything, to the best of our abilities, everything that we think we did things pretty well, but the Lord is sovereign. And so the salvation and sanctification of our children is in the hands of the Lord, and we can trust him with that. So turning more to practical things, really it comes down to when we're shepherding our children, which is really the picture that the Lord gives us, as we're shepherding their heart, there's two aspects. There's the shaping influences that we have, and that's our responsibilities, with empowered by the Holy Spirit, through his wisdom and his power. That's our job, along with him. But the more important is the Godward orientation, that we want to point our children to Christ. So we can help shape them, we can and we'll talk about some of those practical things. But all the shaping that we do, is not going to create a Christian. it's not going to create a believing child, because what is going to do that is obviously the work of the Holy Spirit. So it's even more important that in our work, in our daily chores of parenting, that we are pointing our kids to Christ. And there's a lot of practical ways we can do that. So what does what are some of the ways that, because when we talk about children here, obviously we're talking about the whole age range, and it looks very different at different stages. You know, some of you have smaller children, some of you have fun-sized children like ours, or and some have older kids, young adults. And so, but what does loving Jesus look like, you know, along the spectrum of raising our kids? I mean, what kinds of things do you do, or have you found successful, that points the kids to Christ and develops a sense of loving in them?
Mm-hmm. And yesterday I had a nice conversation with this man regarding the sexual nature. And it was nice to be able to talk with Arabelle in a godly, you know, being a godly father, pointing her to how God has designed men. And women, men being visual, women being more of the relational, and how he did that. But I was able to put it in a biblical worldview and context.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's part of the way God's created us. So that would be an example of a teenager. You know,
right. Well, and I would submit to you that's a wonderful way of loving our children. That's a proactive way of loving our children. That's not a fun conversation to have. You know, I know when my girls start talking about certain things, I just, you know, yeah, or I'm like, wow, the time is really gone. I just, I that's just my natural inclination. But loving our children is having the difficult conversations, you know, and at that stage of development, you know, that's one way to love our children proactively, doing something sacrificially, and that's what I really didn't ask that well, but the thought that was going on in my head is that loving, what does loving look like in light of the scriptures that we've been talking about, that, you know, obviously we are not called to love like Jesus loved. We're called to love as Jesus loved, meaning we are not the Lord. We're not called to necessarily lay down our lives for our kids the same way Jesus did, but we're called to lay down our lives for our kids as Jesus did, in humility, sacrificially, doing the difficult things that like having a conversation that you don't really want to have, but that's, you know, loving our children. And, you know, think back to when you were a kid. That's the funny thing about parenting is that, you know, we've all been on the other side of it, right? We tend to forget that sometimes. I do, at least. But that feels loving to a child. You know, mom and dad are willing to talk about things that I'm kind of uncomfortable talking about. And, you know, they you know, I never thought too much about how my parents thought about things, but you know, they might. Maybe your kids are a lot more intuitive. But so that's brings up the one thing. That's kind of the second point there under A of proactive teaching at their level of development. You know, when you have little children, you know, explaining to them, this is why mommy does this. You know, this is why. You know, when they say something about, or even if they don't bring it up, if you're just doing something loving for the kids, it's not about, you know, exalting yourself to them. It's explaining to them. It's saying, you know, this is why mommy, you know, cooks dinner every night for you or whatever. You know, this is why I do your laundry, or as a dad, this is why I go to work, you know, every day, or this is why I spend time with you, explaining, because I love you. You know, because that's what you do when you love one another. You give to one another. You lay down your life for one another, explaining those things at their level, because it's obviously going to be different when they're, you know, 4 or 5, and as opposed to 15 or 18, you're going to talk on their level, but you're still going to explain. The process is the same. I mean, we're still explaining to 15-year-olds, well, this is why we do these things, because, you know, because we love you, and because when you are in relationship with one another, then you do these things for one another, you know, so that they make the connections. You're trying to really make the connections for them so that they don't just see your example, but they're actually being trained in those things. Using situations that arise in life to draw attention to what love looks like. You know, questioning them at their appropriate age level. You know, why did you do that? Yeah, Heather?
No, I was just thinking, you know, I grew up in the church, and I think my parents largely parented, you know, loving someone has to look to do with your behavior, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have dignity.
Mm-hmm.
And like, we were at a Taekwondo tournament, there were a couple of kids that had disabilities there. Like, one kid had, you know, he had small arms, and another kid had pigmentation. And Uriah kind of made a comment about how he felt like they looked a little gross to him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we asked him, like, if you had something like that, how would that make you feel?
Mm-hmm.
How would he treated you differently? Mm-hmm. But then we were able to talk a little bit more in depth. We don't just treat someone a certain way simply because we don't want to be treated that way. That's like the golden rule, worldly advice. But ultimately, it's because they're also made in the image of God. And that was a piece of my growing up years that was completely left out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's excellent. Highlighting that to them, that gets to the heart motivation. It's not just about looking like you're loving somebody, right? It's not about just having that outwardness, but actually being motivated inwardly by the fact that they are made in the image of God. Every person, and getting that, you know, explaining that to children. And so therefore it means even the unlovely amongst us are, you know, to be treated in the same way as, you know, we would treat anyone else. That can be very challenging. I know with our girls, when they were younger, and I think this is fairly common because I think I went through this as a kid too. They had this, I don't know if I would use the word aversion, that seems a little strong, but uncomfortableness around really old people, you know, like people that are, you know, like older than me even, and that they would feel uncomfortable, like they're old, you know, it's like as if somehow that, and they had grandparents that were old, but they weren't like that with grandma and grandpa, but they, other people that they didn't know, like it made them feel uncomfortable, and explaining to them that, you know, they actually are, because they are made in the image of God, because the Lord looks upon widows and orphans as a category of people that are to be cared for over and above. So in the same manner, you know, we give esteem and honor to elderly people over and above. It's not just about people that look like you or people that are young or people that are strong or people that are, you know, it's the infirm or the elderly that deserve even more loving kindness and loving treatment. So that's good. And when you run into those kinds of situations, just, you know, kind of questioning them, even either ahead of time or in the midst of it or afterwards, they can all be useful times to just kind of poke at the kids. You know, what would it look like to be loving in this situation? You know, what could you do? How could you be motivated to show love towards someone? And You know, it's pretty amazing when the Lord is working in our children's lives, the things that they come up with. You know, I mean, kids say the darndest things. And but sometimes they see things that we don't even see, just in their simplistic way of being loving. And I think it's very instructional, because instead of telling them all the time what they should be doing, which is more my go-to, but asking them, you know, what do you think it would look like? You're developing in them not only the thinking about being loving, but also you're developing in them a conscience, you know, because their conscience kind of pricks them and says, you know, well, you know, it wouldn't be very loving to, you know, take something from my sister, you know, and just take it from her. Is that loving? Is that what Jesus taught us about love, or showed us in his life? Isn't being loving considering others, you know, better than yourselves, being willing to sacrificially give instead of thinking about your own desires and being motivated by your own wants and desires, and just kind of, you know, letting them kind of walk down that road and helping them walk down that road, asking them questions. And that can be really tough. I mean, in the midst of a difficult situation, you know, you have your toddler is fighting with their, you know, older sibling over a toy or something, and you know, it's stressful. You know, it can be really stressful, and so it's difficult to see this is a teaching moment. You know, instead you're just like, stop it, cut it out, and that's understandable. We all feel that way from time to time, or maybe too often, but. And maybe not in the midst of that difficulty, but shortly thereafter, just questioning them. What were you thinking? You know, how were you feeling? That can be really useful to kind of get at what is going on in their heart and reveal to them their heart. Yep, Francis?
So one of the many insights I get from Laura is a little line she uses often, I think that's related, is people before things. Ourselves or our to-do list first, and then as a reminder to me or to her, but even with the kids, people before things. So when they're fighting over the toys, hold on, is this people or things first? And that's just a little reorientation of that vertical love, because we've been loved. That's one helpful aspect. I think Laura was going to share something she learned from a friend in Michigan too. Right?
Yeah, sure she was.
She would let them pick something that they wanted to do to bless somebody in church. And her boys came up with this idea to pamper pregnant women. And they had a luncheon for the pregnant woman at church. And these boys were adorable, because they made chicken salad, and they had foot baths out, and they picked out nail polish because they wanted to paint their toes. And she just, she just really let the kids pick an area that they wanted to bless someone, and then she helped them do it.
That's excellent.
And it was just, and I mean, they're married now. They love people well. Mm-hmm. Getting that practice was just really neat. Like, it wasn't always her saying, this is what we're doing.
But right. Yeah, and that's actually the last thing that I put on there. It doesn't really matter. There's no rhyme or reason necessarily to the order here. But encouraging expressions of love. You know, to family members, to members of the church, to friends. How about to those outside of our comfort zone? You know, encouraging those kinds of expressions. One of our girls, the Lord just put it on her heart. And so, I'll explain what the Lord put on her heart, but that my initial reaction was kind of like, you know, I don't know if I'm comfortable with that. But then Farrah and I talked about it, and I really thought about, nah, this is really a great way to encourage loving others. She just had it on her heart that she wanted to spend some of her money to buy I can't remember if it was like the Gospel of John or the New Testament or whatever. And then she put some of her money into those Bibles and gives them to, you know, policemen, to fire, you know, first responders, and then also we're downtown or we're driving along the road and there's somebody standing out on the corner, you know, asking for money, she'll give that to them. So it's got a little bit of money in there, but it's got the gospel. And she came up with that, you know, all on her own. Obviously, I believe, you know, prompted by the Holy Spirit, but, you know, encouraging that. And those are just times where we can maybe, by encouraging that, it just develops a loving attitude and a way of seeing things. What are some other ways that you all have found that you've been able to develop loving attitudes in your children or encourage that Godward orientation? Yeah, Matt?
Mm-hmm. And then God becomes this negative, mm-hmm. you know, tone. And like, for instance, yesterday we were at practice, and one of the coaches asked me if Zadie would be able to stay after practice to work with this little daughter. And I was like, you can ask her. I don't have a problem with it. But I kind of wanted to see where she was going to go. Sister already left. She's on the team, and she's like, I'm out of here. And I went over to her after practice, and I said, hey, coach wants you to stay. And she goes, I already told him I could. Mm-hmm. And I was stuck there because she drove. So I just sat, which is nice, but I just sat in the dugout, and I watched her working with this girl. And she didn't say too much, just encouragement that she was giving mm-hmm. her, it gave me an opportunity to say, you know, you treated her, you know, you probably made an impression, even though she didn't really know what to say to you. That probably made a lot more, it was probably a bigger deal than you think it is.
Absolutely.
And I said, and that's where the integrity and that's where Christ comes into it. It's, you didn't do it to get something out of it, you just did it.
And that's loving. That's absolutely loving.
We tend to focus on the negative a lot and the discipline in our kids.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have to find opportunities to praise that positive stuff, even when they don't even know that they're doing it.
And that's difficult. That can be really challenging. I'm not a very creative thinker in that way. I struggle with that. And so, you know, if you're like me, hopefully, you know, the Lord has given you a spouse who's a little bit more creative and like mine. And so, you know, coming up with ways like that, I mean, I want to commend you for that, because think of the flip side. I can imagine myself if, you know, I was in that situation and my daughter said, well, you know, I'm going to stay. I already told Coach I'm going to stay. I'd be like, well, you didn't ask me first. Now I got to stay. You know, I'm busy. I got time. That would have just blown the whole opportunity, and I've done that, you know, far too often, but blow the whole opportunity to learn this. Hey, this is what loving is. This is giving of your time, giving of yourself to someone else. And that actually highlights it right into another one that I wanted to bring up. And I think that by and large, this church you know, really does this well, and that is the older kids are reaching out to the younger kids, either just talking to them, just spending time with them, just having a relationship with them. You know, when I was growing up in a family with a lot of people older than me, I had 7 siblings older than me and 2 younger than me, it was always looking like, I want to be older. You know, isn't that what a lot of kids are? You know, everybody wants to grow up. And so you forget about the ones behind you. Like, they're not really, you know, worth my time. They're little, they're kids. But developing a loving character is, you know, reaching out to those that we might deem as not worth our time. They're younger. What are they going to do for me? And just, you know, rooting that out of them. Yeah, Matt.
I think we as adults have to model that too.
Oh, absolutely.
We have to forget about mm-hmm. We talk to the people that we're comfortable with. You know, always branch out to the teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know that we struggle with that with small group and things.
Mm-hmm.
We want our kids to be there, but there's circumstances that make it hard too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my section B there. I didn't want to really beat you over the head too much with that because it can feel that way sometimes. But, you know, just the exhortations in Scripture to love our children well, you know, to be a model, to be an example. And, you know, we're knowing that we're not great examples. Sometimes we're terrible examples. But that the Lord has entrusted us with our children, and there's no question that modeling a loving attitude and a lifestyle of loving others is going to speak volumes to children. You could talk all day long about, well, you need to be loving. You know, Jesus calls you to be loving, but if they're in the back of their heads, the older they get, they're thinking, I don't see you doing any of that. Maybe it's not really that important because mom and dad aren't really doing that. And I've been, you know, really convicted about that because it's easy, as Jesus said, to love those who love you. But how about those that are like our neighbors that, you know, they're not doing anything for me. Maybe they're not even that interested in me loving them. But that's what Jesus calls us to, and our kids are watching that. You know, what do you mean opening up our home to the people across the street? But that is an example, and it gets them involved in it. It gets them, you know, off the couch and into the process of reaching out and encouraging them to think about, well, what could you do for, you know, the lady that lives across the street that is a widow and is by herself? What could you do? What can I do, you know, and to be the example and to set that example for them, but also encourage them to join in it. How about, you know, things that are out of their comfort zone, things that are difficult? How about getting up early, you know, and going to the rescue mission? You know, it doesn't mean that it has to be all the time, but just even one time of, yeah, you know, serving people breakfast, you know, this, I don't really want to talk to those people. I don't want to have to deal with them. But yeah, but that's loving others. That's sacrificially laying down your life for other people. You know, it doesn't have to be this big ordeal. It can just be simple. You know, I think that sometimes we think that being loving is extraordinary. You know, we have to do something extraordinary. No, I think Jesus showed us by his life and in his teaching, and certainly Paul all over the epistles, he's just talking about ordinary things, just making sure somebody has something they need, just providing something that people need. How about just a meal? How about just some fellowship? How about just some time together? It takes time to be loving. It takes commitment to be loving. And those are the kinds of things that we want to develop in our kids. So I had put on there just quickly that, you know, to love in word and deed, as we see in 1 Thessalonians and 1 John. And just to wrap things up, I just wanted to kind of poke at you and to think about, what do you do when you're trying to develop a loving attitude in your kids, but it just doesn't seem like it's working very well? You know, then what do we do? Right? I'm going to write that down. That's a great idea. I mean, have any of you run into that? I've certainly run into that. That doesn't seem like we're getting a lot of traction here in this loving your sister or loving your brother or loving others. You know, what do you do when it's not working? These are all great ideas. Lindsay. Yeah. Right. Absolutely. That's what the body of Christ is for, right? I mean, to help one another, to love one another. That's loving right there. That's displaying humility and displaying that I love my kids enough. I love the Lord enough. I want to serve you well, Lord. I need help. And the Lord's like, well, you got, you know, 300 brothers and sisters at church. Well, you know, they probably know a whole lot more than you. I don't know who was first, but go ahead, Kelly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Yep, Laura.
I'm not the Holy Spirit. I can't change their heart. I can guide and mold, but we both need the same Savior, and we're both prone to the same temptations.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we go, to the Lord. And good thing.
Absolutely. Joel?
To me, whether we're trying to get our kids to love each other or to love God or love our neighbors or whatever, it's all the same kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I try to require behavior that looks like love, even if they don't feel it,
mm-hmm.
But don't try to give them the idea that if it's not in their heart, they're still okay. You know, like, this is the action that you're required to do, whether it's singing along with a song, even though you don't feel like worshiping, or it's helping the neighbor that you don't feel like helping. But try to keep emphasizing and reminding, this has to be in your heart, or it's meaningless. But you still got to do it right now, whether it's in your heart or not.
Yeah, but that's training our children. That's an excellent model. Kathleen, did you have your hand up? No. And Heather?
I was thinking, and I don't even know if this is wise or not, but sometimes I tell them, like, you do love each other. Like, you just don't know it. I mean, because we have sons, and one of them in particular loves the hate word. Like, if he's very angry, I just hate you right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is that true? And we talk about that. And I'm like, and I know you do love each other. So that's how we're going to land. And that's where we're going to stay.
Sure.
You know, because they do love each
other. And I think that can be helpful because you are developing in them more of being in touch with their conscience. But, you know, yeah. You know, I really shouldn't say that because, yes, I do love my brother. You know, I mean, I think that at the end of the day, they're going to admit that and they're going to see that. And for you to point that out can be extremely enlightening for them. Yeah, Matt.
I think it's definitely a work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
Flexible, even though those two are completely the opposite. Because what works for this kid isn't going to work for that kid.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot be consistently one way if it's not working. You've got to figure out something. But you've got to give it time.
Mm-hmm.
You just try something one day, try something different.
Right.
The next day. It doesn't, it's not going to happen.
Right. Absolutely. I just wanted to end here that I think Laura brought up exactly what I was wanted to just leave you with, and that is just to encourage you that not to fall back into this determinism, this idea that, well, the scripture says if I do this and I do that and I do this, you know, that, right, train up a child in the way he'll go and he won't depart. No, that's very deterministic. We can do all that God has called us to do and all that is in our heart. But ultimately, at the end of the day, we know that God is sovereign. It's his work. They're his children. So we can rest in that and trust him that he will have his way in their lives, and he will call them, and he will enable them to someday, and you know, who knows, maybe you know, our kids come to a knowledge of the Lord at a younger age. Maybe they won't until they're out of our house and gone. But we can trust the Lord in that, and we can know that it's not a deterministic fashion of, well, Lord, I'm doing everything, you know, right. I'm doing everything you told me to do. Well, just pray and trust the Lord and continue doing what he's called you to do. And also not to lean upon denial. It's real easy sometimes to kind of deny what's going on in our kids' hearts or our kids' lives. I've struggled with that a lot recently of just, have I been kind of turning a blind eye because I want to think the best? You know, well, yes, you do need to think the best about your children, but you have to see clearly, holding them up to the scripture and saying, yeah, this is not really something that's good in your life. And just gently encouraging them, not, like Matt was saying, not in the midst of a conflict or struggle, but at a time when it's most appropriate to just gently and lovingly point those kinds of things out to them. All good. Very good. I appreciate your input on that. I'll definitely have to think about that, locking the kids up. Go grab a cup of coffee or get up, stretch, and we'll be back to worship the Lord in a few minutes.
Walk it in, and then you're gonna One.
Yeah. Is he coming home or is he got a job somewhere?
He's got a job with AT&T, so he's going to be home. That's why I said, I hugged him. I said, when I'm in diapers, I'm going to need you. And he's like, Dad, get out of here.
I think everybody was standing around when I said that.
All I know is he's going to be making good money, so I know who's buying me dinner. He's going to be making as much money as I do, so I know who's buying dinner. No more getting out of